There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
And give me
25. This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of 50 Days of Dragon Con, though a podcast is getting recorded before 50 days starts because, you know, life. And joining me, as always, is Lee, how are you doing?
I am great. How are you? John, we haven't talked in so long.
Well, we just talked like yesterday, I think, in the day before. I don't know when this one's going out. I don't know if it's going out second or third.
I mean, it feels like so long, even though I've talked to you already. I mean,
we've learned so much so far. I think everyone has their schedules out now. That's how far along we are.
Fuck off. Screw you. Sorry, I'm trying. I am trying to be better about my language. Screw you. I do not have my schedule out. And if you get it 2 weeks before con, Kevin, what do you think about that? 2 weeks before con? How's that sound?
Day before.
It'll still be wrong at that point, too.
We got an app now. They can look it up in real time.
Yeah, my schedule's set.
Lee, why don't you introduce everybody so everybody knows who they are?
Yeah, well, we're chatting. So as we're all just chatting here, welcome to 50 Days. Don't expect this to work. I'm Lee, and hey, Kevin, the video game director, and Phil, the game room board game director. How you guys doing?
I'm doing great.
You're doing great. You got a new baby.
Yes, I do. She's like cooing right here. She's like, why are you talking and not talking to me?
Well, just look at her and talk to her, and it'll be all fine. And Kevin, how are you? You ready to go?
Yeah, I'm ready. Let's do con.
Let's get to con. Yes, I can do it tomorrow. Can we get over it? Whatever. I'll do it. Whatever. And before anybody asks, because we've already said this a few times by this point, as this one's coming out, Dragon Con is only 4 days. There may be some stuff on Thursday, but that does not mean it's a 5-day con, John.
Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Sure.
John Buchel.
I don't know. I look at the official schedule. It says Thursday in there.
I have an official Thursday event.
They want me to open up the game room for on Thursday, so.
Yeah, screw it. It's 5-day con.
No, there we go. No, well, I always think, Phil, I mean, I just remember because I'm running around between the hotels getting things, and I just remember going by the game area 1 year. And now you're still going to be in the Apparel Mart this year, right?
It's America's Mart.
I'm sorry, America's Mart. Are you sure?
America's Mart.
America. God help us all. But you're still going to be over there this year, right?
As far as I know.
As we know right now, yeah.
Everything's subject to change up until, you know, September, August 31st, right?
Well, no, actually until I think, September 3rd? Isn't that when we're over?
Yeah. At the Dead Dog Party, schedules are locked in.
There you go.
Finally.
If your butt is in a seat in a panel or a game is going on, just sit there. Do it. I would run. This is when you used to be like in the Hyatt and or other areas. And I would walk by like Thursday around noon trying to get all my stuff together. And I would see people lined up sitting on the floor waiting for your room to open.
Yeah. Well, so, that still happens. It's I like to say they were waiting for me to open, but they're really waiting for gaming registration to open because you gotta pay the bills first before you can play. So there's always a line for registration. And we don't have to do that anymore because everybody should be able to pre-register for the events. Did you just squeak?
No, tell how does that work? What's going on with that?
And yes, she did, Phil.
Okay, yeah, we have a gaming as a whole has a page at gaming.dragoncon.org.
Mm-hmm.
And from that page, you can sign up for games. And it's a good idea to do that, especially with some of the RPGs, to do that, because they tend to sell out before the show starts. And you don't want to come to Dragon Con expecting to play a game, and oh no, it's sold out.
Okay, so let's pretend I don't know anything about board games or any of the games you do. Okay, let's just pretend I have no idea. Okay. It's not that I have a guest room really, full of them because of a husband and a son, but let's pretend. So when you say an RPG, what kind of games are you talking about signing up? Like if somebody wanted to come and play Monopoly, I know you got
I will ask them politely but firmly to leave.
No, you would not.
Just double their registration fee.
I don't have Monopoly. I probably should order a couple of sets of Monopoly, but I don't have a single copy of Monopoly.
Candyland?
I have a single copy of Chutes and Ladders.
Okay. Oh no. Oh, Chutes and Ladders is evil. You can't cheat.
Sure you can.
Says somebody who's never cheated a 5-year-old.
I've cheated on Candyland because you just palmed the Frost Queen card or whatever it is. But okay, so what RPGs can you sign up for, and how early can you sign up for them?
Registration for all signups is going to start, I believe, at the end of next week. We try to wait till after the last Dragon Con meeting before we. I'm sorry. I should do this in a different way. You should sign up after the Dragon Con, the last Dragon Con meeting. The last Dragon Con meeting is on the 11th?
15th.
It's next. It's a weekend in the future for me now. I don't know when this is airing, so I believe
the last Dragon Con meeting will be somewhere around, I think it's the 15th, right? July 15th?
Second week of July.
Yeah.
Second week of July.
That would be
so. 15. After that, we go ahead and open up. We go ahead and open up the registration site so that people can go ahead and sign up for games. There's a couple of changes for this year. All gaming tickets for all games are going to be $5. For all campaign and non-campaign games are going to be $5 instead of $3. We've kept it at $3 for, like, I think 15 years. That price is going up. A couple of other things we're also doing. The board game sticker is still going to be available, both at gaming registration and at board games. That's going to be $10. And that will allow you to play any board game in the Dragon Con library. We also have Werewolf is also going to have a special sticker for people who are playing Werewolf. That's also going to be $10. And the board game or the Werewolf sticker will allow you to play board games of Werewolf all weekend.
Wait. Werewolf? You allow Werewolf?
We embrace our friends who play Werewolf.
In a headlock?
I love that.
And the fact that the Werewolf sticker says, kick me on it. Just ignore that.
Just ignore that. All right.
No, it's actually a very lovely thing. It has a lovely werewolf and a lovely dragon on it. And it, like I said, it's going to let people play Werewolf or board games all weekend for the low, low price of $10.
Okay, so what does my $10 get me if I want to do board games? And what board games? Give me some ideas.
List all the board games that you have.
No, do not list all of them. Dear God, no, we will never end this podcast. Do not.
Tune in next week.
Well, I'm going to point you again back to the gaming website, gaming.dragonkind.org. There's a list of all the games that we have in the library. Plus, we're going to be adding some more over the next few weeks to the library. But you're going to have everybody's favorite. We're going to have Catan, King of Tokyo, King of New York. We're hoping to get some of the newer stuff, Terraforming Mars, Splendor. My new personal favorite, Castles of Mad King Ludwig.
I keep hearing about that. We haven't done that one. I love, we do love the King of Tokyo over here. And we also like Ticket to Ride. Do you have that one?
We do have that. In the past, we haven't run a lot of train games because Dragon Con used to be on the same weekend as Rail Con. We haven't run a lot of train games, but we're hoping to change that, and we're ordering some. We've ordered some more additional copies of Ticket to Ride and some other rail games for the show.
Okay, and John, I'm sorry. Do you want to ask a question? Or you want me to hush?
Oh no, you're fine. Keep going.
Okay, good.
I'm just getting used to this.
Okay, get used to it. You know. It's only been 4 or 5 years that we've done this. So if I wanted to bring a younger kid, like let's say I wanted to bring a 10-year-old to Dragon Con, and they're getting a little tired, but they're not you know, they're 10, so they're not sleepy. They don't want a nap, but we need to calm it down a bit. So if we've paid our $10 and we come to the gaming room, I can find a game that I can play with that 10-year-old, or should I
already have it out now? Yeah, sorry about that. We got a lot of games that that would appeal to kids under 12. You know, I joke around and talk about Chutes and Ladders, but we have some of the Star Wars stuff.
Awesome.
We have some of that. Of course, King of Tokyo, King of New York. We've got Munchkin. We've got Pitch Car. We got some stuff for people to do, especially with their kids. It's a good. I tell people all the time, it's a good place for families to come and hang out because there's food over there. Because the gaming room has food there on the floor, so they can hang out.
I wouldn't want to eat anything off the floor. Never mind.
The floor is actually quite clean. No. It's actually a vending area over there. And because of where we are, we're going to be right next to the Tokyo Pop Arcade.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, all the gaming being over there, over there in America's Mart. Merca. is really good for us because all the gaming is right there. I mean, where all the tabletop stuff is like right there. Our panels are right next door at the Westin. The video game people are right next door at the Westin. You could literally, it's just one of the unique things about DragonCon. You could come to DragonCon, pay your membership, get in DragonCon, come and hang out in gaming, and never pay attention to the rest of the con, and you would still consider yourself had a full con experience because there's just that much to do over there where we are.
I would submit that is not that uncommon.
Well, and that's, you know, as I said, there are people waiting for you to open, you know, on Thursday. So, I mean, yeah, I think there are people that, I mean, that's their main interest. You want to play games with people? It's hard. Find people that in your area to play games with. So I think that's kind of awesome. Now,
and you know, a lot of these board games can be kind of expensive. And we've already gone through the expense. We have the games, and rather than spend a bunch of money, you know, upwards of about $200 on a game that you might play once or twice a year, you're coming to Dragon Con anyway. Spend the $10 and go and hang out with some people and play with people who know how to play at Dragon Con.
And it's also a good place for you to, you know, try out a game that you've been thinking about buying, but you didn't want to invest
exactly,
in.
Exactly, because, yeah. Hey, we spent the money. Why should you? Right.
Well, and I've usually found that people, like, if you're saying, I've been interested in this, but I don't know how to play, there will be somebody who'll be like, oh, it's okay. Come on over. We'll teach you. Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That happens a lot, too. And like I said, we haven't played. We're in the process of finalizing our order, so... anybody listening to this, if you have any suggestions of any games that we might want to order, drop us a line at boardgames@dragoncon.org, and we'll consider getting a copy of it.
That's cool. Now, I think this is probably going to go a little into Kevin's area, but you talked about the Tokyo Arcade. What? I've never heard of this. What is this?
Tokyo Pop Arcade is a bunch of rhythm games from Japan. Thanks to our partnership with Momocon, we have access to those games. And basically, they're a bunch of rhythm games. They're set up for free play. They're open all weekend. They start, I believe, at 10 o'clock on Friday, and they shut them down at 4 o'clock on Monday.
Yeah, they were set up last year, weren't they?
Yeah, and we've done some we've done some layout changes so that people can actually hear themselves think. and we moved where the Tokyo Pop Arcade is, so that it's not like right there in the middle. So it's overpowering the people who are trying to play board games and need to actually hear each other. So
you put them right next to where Werewolf is being played. Then,
Werewolf is welcome. we love our Werewolf players,
of course.
There's moderators that are volunteers for the con, and they have their space. And like I said, we love them.
And that's what we'll stick with. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, we are sticking with that forever. Okay.
Speaking of Werewolf, Kevin.
Yeah. Well, was it? Yeah, I don't know. Okay.
Heavy handed.
Okay, you're going to have to explain that segue to me someday.
What I was going to say is, all right, so Kevin, how do we move from board games to this Tokyo pop dance rhythm thing to you. What game could you say is an entryway between those two?
DDR.
Well, oh God. Well, pretty much any board game Phil has, there's a video game version out of it that you can play on your phone somewhere. Ticket to Ride, Catan, whatever. That's the gateway drug. You just put the game on your phone. And next thing you know, you're a video gamer.
Right.
Oh, God. Help us all.
So,
Oh, my God. We're all going to die. So
you're in charge of the video game content. Now, that's not actually the video game room, which is a completely different.
Sort of thing. I do the programming. I do the interviews with Richard Garriott and voice actors from your favorite games and various developers and people in the business. I throw the parties.
Who do you? Speaking of parties, because we know that Dragon Con is now a 5-day con. What do you have? What parties do you have going on this year?
It's a 10-day con.
Funny you should say that, because on Thursday...
Well, Thursday, but Thursday tells me that's not an official day.
Thursday night at 10 o'clock in the Westin. We're throwing the 8-Bit Bash. It's going to be all 70s and 80s dance music. Joystick Arcade's bringing their entire collection of coin-op games down there for free play. So it's going to be... I mean, imagine your favorite... I'm dating myself here, but in the 70s, if you went to a roller rink and saw the arcade games and the dance floor and the everything else, it's basically going to be that at Dragon Con.
Oh my God, are you going to do the YMCA song while we dance?
Duh.
Of course. And skate? Is there a free skate? Couple skate?
Yeah, because I want to see some of you people skating out there. I would pay to see that, actually.
Actually, so would I. That's kind of awesome. Okay.
Broken hips galore.
Oh, I broke myself. That's really cool. So, now when you say you talked to some of the developers, Kevin, and what exactly, I mean, are you talking about current games, future games, just how people got into it or what?
All of the above. So you see, we've got the creator of The Simpsons Tapped Out, who's going to be joining us this year.
Oh, nice.
We've got the senior historian from Blizzard, who does the lore and history for all of Blizzard's games. That's StarCraft, World of Warcraft, that's Overwatch, that's Diablo. Sweet. That's he pretty much maintains the backstory and the continuity for all those franchises. And his name's Sean Copeland, and he's going to be at Con this year. We got Richard Garriott. If you've played a video game, you've played something he's written. And then exciting guest. And most people may not know this name, but Al Lowe is joining us this year. And for those of you who played video games during the 1980s, you may have heard of a game called Leisure Suit Larry.
Yeah. I mean,
Leisure Suit Larry turns 30 this year, and Allo, the creator of Leisure Suit Larry, is going to be at Dragon Con. So we're going to talk a little bit about old school gaming and maybe get kind of a little goofy, raunchy.
Are you going to wear the suit?
It's going to be a late night. It's going to be a late night panel. I'll just leave it at that.
Are you going to wear the suit, Kevin?
Yeah, I'm going to wear the suit.
Nice.
I got the medallion. I got the shirt. I'm ready.
Oh my God, that would be so awesome! I can't wait. Please take pictures and post. Yes, that's awesome.
I'm now taking applications for my passionate Patty.
Yes.
No.
Her name is Kathy.
So true story about that, by the way. A couple of years ago, when we were talking about doing a Leisure Suit Larry panel, just for giggles and. One of my volunteers said, "Oh, I'll be your passionate Patty." Now, I got the reference because that's a character from the game. My wife, however, did not get the reference. And I had some spitting to do that night. It started with a 6-foot redhead meeting me at my doorway going, "Who the hell is passionate Patty?" I love you. Don't kill me.
Put the knife down.
Right. I'm still breathing, so the story has a happy ending, but I had to explain the Leisure Suit Larry franchise to a wife who was a small child when that game came out.
So we sort of alluded to this earlier, Phil, but what tournaments are you running this year?
We're running a Catan tournament. It was Settlers of Catan National championship qualifier. We're sending a winner to Gen Con next year of that tournament. We missed out on it last year, but we're back with it this year. So we'll be able to do that. We're going to run some daily stuff with like King of Tokyo, King of New York, and Splendor. We've discovered that outside of the Catan tournament, it's really just a logistical nightmare just because of the amount of people we have to try to run a lot of tournaments. But some of the tournaments are popular, so we try to bring those back. And you know, as with everything at Dragon Con, even though we got all this lovely new space last year, space is always at a premium.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to stick with what's popular, which we know is the Catan, and we're going to try to introduce some daily stuff. You know, you pay your fee, you win, you get a dealer coin. So,
you're saying that lots of people have wood for sheep.
I think I have iron for sheep.
That's okay, Kevin.
I'm not surprised that joke went over Lee's head.
It didn't have that far to travel.
Wait, I thought it was iron. It's iron and wood and sheep.
Well,
and
then, it's ore, but...
Ore.
But, ore, that's it. Shit.
But,
sorry.
But that's not the joke.
Hey, there's a child present.
Yeah, she's 7 months. It's all right. We haven't ruined her yet.
So
yeah, right.
Kevin, last year, did you have any panels that surprised you as far as the amount of attendance or the turnout that occurred?
Yeah, we had several. Xavier Woods, those of you who follow wrestling, he's part of the New Day in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Dropped by, unannounced. Surprise, we had a panel. And he talked about his gaming podcast, Up, Up, Down, Down, and Line Out the Door Later. We decided it would probably be a good idea to make him an official guest this year.
Especially after he took over half the game room signing autographs. He signed autographs in the game room for about an hour.
Wow. Yeah.
And because he was like right
in
the element.
That's so cool. That's very nice.
He's great.
And it all goes back to the whole thing with Dragon Con, with for the fans, by the fans, because Xavier's a fan.
Yeah.
So, and he was hanging out with other fans. So,
so he was just attending. He wasn't even a guest last year.
Yeah. He not only was he attending, I found out he was attending when I was watching Raw the week before and they did a backstage segment and he's talking to his tag team partners about how forward he's looking to coming to Dragon Con.
Wow.
And I was like, well, if he's going to be here. So, this year we're making it a little more official, but,
So there is a panel with him this year.
Oh, absolutely. We have not finalized our schedule like some other tracks have. So
yeah,
there
like
may
X-Track,
be other
X-Track
events,
is,
but I can't, you know.
X-Track is completely finalized. She's going to post it tomorrow.
We still doing X-Track? We still have X-Track?
X-Track.
Keep it up, you two. Keep it up. I'll kick you in the kneecaps. It's all right.
I have
X-Files over, Lee.
Oh. Is coming back. We're doing season 11. Thank you.
With all male writers. Oh, we'll talk about that later. Anyway.
Because
old
people with money are always popular.
Okay. So let me ask a question as we get into that, which is about diversity in gaming for both of you two. What have you seen just... in both of your tracks and across the board in what you do with the diversity groups and I'm sorry, the diversity issue. I know there's a lot more going on and Kevin, you talked about it a little bit last year too.
Yeah. Those panels were very well received last year. We basically talking about representation in gaming and it's things that I think until relatively recently, most gamers never even thought about having.
Yep.
Having different skin tones on characters and different ethnicities and different representations and gender fluidity and all kinds of other concepts that, I mean, let's face it, I'm a straight white male and that's not something that ever really entered my consciousness until it was pointed out. And yeah, it kind of helps flesh out the world. It kind of, you know, makes things more representative of, you know, real life.
We say it all the time. We hear it all the time. Representation matters. And
absolutely.
and you know, you may not have had the experience, you know, where a person of color or someone who is transgender or someone who is gay, who is bisexual, whatever that thing is, it may not have been their thing. I mean, it may not have been your thing, but it's their thing, and representation matters. And I think it's really cool that people are finally beginning to get that. I think two of the panels that I moderated last year were with women, with women creators, in gaming, which, you know, I think 10, 15 years ago, that wouldn't have been a thing.
I agree entirely.
Well, no, so. I mean, I entirely agree. And I think one of the things too, which, white female here, and I have a white male child, but I also have a niece, and she has lots of friends, and my son has lots of friends who are very diverse. And one of the biggest things they keep talking about, especially the teenagers, is at least I can finally find somebody who looks like me, who acts like me. I can make this character to an extent come to be. And I can show myself here. And I think that's just kind of wonderful, because we're not back in the thing, you know, as we all said, when I was playing Star Wars in 1978, I had to be Princess Leia because there were no pilots. Well, nope, there are female pilots now. There are female Jedi. There are this, there are that. So, you know, we're taking steps. It's not perfect, but we're taking steps.
It's a thing, and I'm glad it's happening. I mean, I'm older than most of the people who are playing current modern video games. But I mean, growing up, I'm a person of color. I'm surprised Phil's a black guy. I didn't see a lot of black representation in video games or board games or role playing games growing up. You saw somebody with a skin tone that looked like mine, and boom, instantly there's your bad guy. So, things have changed tremendously over the last few years, and it can only get better. Of course, you're still going to have the little brains who can't wrap their head around it. That, oh my gosh, they put somebody who doesn't look like them in a game. It's not an attack on you. It really isn't. I mean,
and the odd part about it is most of the games they're talking about, it's including the option. If you want to be a person of color, you can be a person of color. If you want to be female, you can be female. If you want to be male, you can be male. The fact that that developers are taking the time to make those options available doesn't take anything away from the small brain white guy.
And it also has, representation matters. A lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, people, you know, that are cisgendered white males are doing the developing. They're doing the creating. And, you know, I think that right there is the biggest thing I think that any of us who have something to do with a fan run con like this can support. We need to support creators. And because the creators, if they're creating organically, people in games that look like them, that sound like them, that have their same life experience, I mean, how can that be a bad thing?
Exactly.
Totally on board with that, because I think the other thing there too is, I mean, you know, 10 years ago I had a friend come and it was like the first time they ever did a women in gaming panel. And I'm like, oh, really? But now it's that's not. And, you know, I'm sorry, you very likely might get your ass kicked by somebody who looks very, very different from you when you're playing Street Fighter or whatever game you are playing. And, deal with it, dude.
And it's like, that's important. A lot of people have to realize that just because the games are getting more diverse, it's not an attack on them. Mm-hmm. Again, it's exactly. Going back that, yes. those two words that, you know, mean so much. Representation matters.
Exactly. So what now, Phil, you don't usually do any panels. I mean, you just do the gaming. Are you going to be on any panels?
He's on panels. I've seen him on panels.
Yeah, I moderate. I moderate a couple panels each year. Hopefully I can do some more this year.
So what are you moderating? Or what are you thinking about moderating or maybe moderating? Or
I serve at the pleasure of Pat Henry.
Understood. Yes, as we all do. Yep, yep, yep.
So wherever they need me, I go. I usually do at least one panel with one of our other people in gaming, which is Tabletop Gaming. I usually do one panel with them. If Kevin needs me for something, I'll moderate something for him. And I usually get one or two main programming gigs as well. So this year, I'm going to cheat. As you know, this is last year was the 30th anniversary of Dragon Con. So guess what Dragon Con this makes for me?
31st
Dragon Con. So I'm going to use all my pull with the powers that be and all the perks that I hopefully I can. I'm going to try to use all the pull I can to get in as much stuff as I never touched in 31 years of Dragon Con. So if there's an opportunity for me to moderate somebody that I probably shouldn't be moderating because they have a professional moderator, I'm going to say, but I've been doing this for 30 years. Come on, look a brother.
No. I'm just wondering what TV shows you're watching right now, and if any of them are in any of my tracks, because I need some moderators. Just letting you know. Just putting it out there.
We'll talk.
Phil, I've got one attending pro in particular who is a real pain in the ass, and I need a special moderator for him.
Okay, we'll talk. Because we don't want to call one of our lovely guests
his name's
pain
Kevin.
In the ass. Oh, well.
Yeah, his name is Kevin Stallard, and he's listed as an attending pro this year, and I have a feeling he's going to be a real handful, whatever panels
he has. Yeah, he won't be a handful. You know, just stroke him behind the ears. He'll be all right.
No, my understanding is, you know, he is going to need, like, 24-7 help. Dead serious, man. It's going to be sad. Serious.
I got an umbrella.
Yeah, just work on him. Just help him out. Help him out.
Oh, before we, yeah, I also want to mention, you know, Kevin and I are here representing our various parts of gaming. I'm representing board gaming. He's representing video games. But we also have other people in gaming that, you know, you want to come out and take a look at. We got card games. We got miniature games. We got role-playing games, both campaign and non-campaign. We have our tabletop track. And new for this year, I guess what they call it, LAN party.
Is that what they call it? Yeah, LAN party. Bring your own rig. Gaming.
Oh, really?
We've got tournament video gaming. We've got the Artemis Bridge Simulator, which I guess I'll have to explain more about that in a minute. We've got LARPs. Can't forget those.
We can. It's like werewolf.
werewolf the entire con.
What? Right, it's like we don't have Boffa LARP because, you know, you can't hit people at Dragon Con because that would be against the rules. But there are live action role playing games being played at Dragon Con, have been for the last 27 years, and we hope to continue that even more in the future.
But the going back to the Artemis Bridge Simulator, those of you who are fans of Star Trek, mm-hmm. I want you to imagine you're sitting in a room with mm-hmm. six computers. Each computer corresponds to a different station on the bridge. The captain does not have his own computer. He has to command by voice only. And it's an actual Star Trek bridge simulation. You actually conduct missions.
Okay, I have to tell you guys, my husband and son played this, and they adore it. They have played the different stations. They have played, you know, with so many different groups. They love this game, and they're both big Star Trek fans. So am I, but I just like to watch the show. I don't want to, like, yeah.
No, last year,
What I think is hilarious about this is this was totally inspired by fans.
Yeah.
Fans inspired this. They did it. And lo and behold, CBS Interactive has come out with Star Trek Bridge Crew. which requires a whole lot of horsepower. Oh yeah.
An exclusive. They'll also be at Dragon Con.
That was a segue, Kevin. You like that? Yeah.
You're not stealing my thunder on that one, dude.
I was just trying to get, dude, bump, set, spike, man. Right? And that's what I was doing. The cool thing about it is literally Artemis runs on commodity hardware. It runs well. The new Star Trek thing, that is the game that's going to make me buy virtual reality for my home computer.
Really? I'm just saying,
I've got 3 Dell rack mounted servers sitting in my office here that might be adequate for pushing that game.
Yeah, it's robust.
Yeah. Oh, really? I mean, you actually have played it, and you're like, this is good. This is not a bad thing that they're bringing it out. Okay.
Well,
it's just that it requires a lot of upfront cost, right? A
lot of beef.
The hardware they put it on, uh-huh. It dimmed the lights when they turned it on.
Mm.
And it was a smooth experience, but it was still a little less polished than I would have liked it to be. But oh my god, it was amazing.
It was still good though. You loved it.
Compare and contrast with Artemis, the guy that's running Artemis for us at Dragon Con, pulled the equipment he's using out of his company's dumpster. They were throwing these computers in the trash.
You can run it
out of the dumpster, salvaged them, and now that's his Artemis bridge set. Well,
yeah,
and
you can run this on
a phone.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And Artemis is it's on Steam, it's on a lot of platforms. So I mean you can get your copy. It's not ridiculously expensive.
It's like I think $10 it depends. Yes. There's a couple of different licenses.
$13.
Yeah.
$10-$15. Yeah. It's nothing. It's not ridiculous. And yeah, because they were already chatting about how many screens we could put in the den and figure out how to do that. I'm like, stop. Oh, please stop. So if you two had to say like the game you're looking forward to this year to either talking about or playing with someone, what would it be?
Maybe she's going to be Splendor.
I'm sorry, the little baby. We're seeing pictures of the little sleepy baby, and she is so cute. Oh, sorry.
For me, it's Splendor. This is a game that came out a couple of years ago, and I totally ignored it, and I feel really bad about it. But I got a copy right after Dragon Con, and I've been pretty much playing it pretty much since the con ended. So that's the game I'm looking forward to playing with people with.
See, not a fair question for me to answer because I've basically spent the last several months since March playing Mass Effect Andromeda. That was the big one for me this year, and
for me,
it was totally worth it.
I was going to ask you if it was your take from it, but I guess you're.
I dug it. I understand why a lot of the fans had problems with it. They had some technical issues the first couple of weeks that had to be resolved, but
it seemed to be the case with every Mass Effect, though. That was always
and of course, haters gonna hate.
Right, haters gonna hate. I like the storyline. I enjoyed the game. I had a ball.
I didn't notice any of these quote unquote glitches until my second playthrough.
So there was a Mass Effect and there was a new Fallout, right?
No new Fallout.
Fallout was last year.
Oh, okay. So I guess I lost my child to Mass Effect for a while. Yeah. Because he was like, oh my God. Our friend, Kevin Kim, she took like 4 days off of work when Mass Effect came out.
Oh, yeah.
I had the fortune of being out of work when Mass Effect Andromeda came out. So for like the first week that it was out, I was pretty much playing it like 15 hours a day.
Yeah.
So, hey, woohoo! Put the baby to sleep, play Mass Effect.
There you go. That's
it
how
it works.
You know. Before we get to the game portion of the game, of this game episode, Kevin, what other panels do you have running this year that you want to, or that you're planning on running at least?
Well, I've only got 60.
Oh, okay. All right. So then. Not that many then.
No, our big ones. Yeah, right. We're doing the video game costume contest on Friday,
okay.
Which basically, you know, that's going to be huge. We've got, you know, Sean Copeland from Blizzard, so we're going to have all kinds of lore panels on Blizzard franchises. One of the panels we did last year that was very, very well received was called Masterpiece Theater.
Oh, God.
Where we selected dramatic readings from movies and song lyrics and had our voice actors read them as various characters.
Oh my
So, for
God,
example,
awesome.
Dino Andrade was reading the lyrics from the Beatles' Maxwell's Silver Hammer in the voice of the Scarecrow from Arkham Asylum. And bang, bang, the hammer, you know. Yeah, it was kind of freaky. Quentin Flynn was doing Hamlet's soliloquy as Sylvester Stallone. I mean, you know. we had a bunch of stuff, but we're breaking that. We're having two sessions of that because our voice actors had such a good time doing it. Awesome. So we're going to do more of that, and we're going to do a couple of new ones this year. We have video game Name That Tune.
Oh, God.
Inspired by a certain somebody who tried to trip me up with video game theme songs during our 50 Days of Dragon Con podcast last year. And we're also doing a video game mixology, so video game themed booze type drinks.
Ooh.
Yet another excuse to drink at Dragon Con.
Yes,
I know, right? We didn't have enough of those.
Is that going to be an evening?
I mean, this is interesting.
Is that going to be evening one there?
Yes.
Kevin?
Okay. Kid friendly.
Kid friendly. Yeah. It's Kool-Aid.
No, the real kid friendly one is the one we're doing Sunday at 10 p.m., which is the DC Douglas erotic fan fiction panel. We're expanding that to 2 hours.
The what?
DC Douglas is the voice of Albert Wesker from Resident Evil.
Okay.
And he has saved all of the fan submitted erotic fiction that fans have sent to him over the years. Oh, and he reads it in character.
Oh my.
And he pulls people out of the audience to read the other parts with him.
Oh my.
I actually laughed so hard last year, I went lightheaded and had to get up and leave the room. I was laughing so hard.
Oh, wow.
No, definitely kid friendly in finger quotes. Sunday at 10 p.m.
Hey, maybe PJ will we'll advertise it for you.
Right?
Put in the kaleidoscope. Hey, can you cross over with kaleidoscope for that?
Yeah, I don't think so. Do you remember?
She doesn't have any 10 p.m. program.
Whether or not it's all ages or mature. The app says that.
Yeah. Pretty much anything after 10 o'clock is nah.
I would be careful after 8 p.m. as well.
Yeah. Some people just, I've been doing this for 30 years, and it just blows my mind the number of people who are under the age of 12 who are hanging out at Dragon Con at 11 o'clock p.m. May God have mercy on their souls.
I blame the parents.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, but the parents, of course, blame Dragon Con.
Which is why we take great pains every year to say, guys, after 10, not kidding, the freak flags come out. Not
seriously,
joking.
Man.
Yeah.
From 10 until 6 a.m., dudes. Don't. No. No.
Okay, because
you can have them out and just let them know. They got to know what they're getting into.
That's exactly it. I mean, it's just understand this is what happens.
Of course, these are the same people who complain about the content at Frolicon, so.
Right. Hey, kids, do you know what hentai is?
Well, it's about puppets and animation. It's for kids, right? Yeah, no, don't take them to Avenue Q.
They'll never watch SpongeBob SquarePants the same way again.
Oh, Squidward.
Oh, God. Well, did we just go weird?
Stop. Yeah, we just. Okay, stop. Okay, John, please.
So, Kevin, because we forgot to ask and Phil as well, can you remind everybody where you are, at least tentatively, because, hey, this could still change.
Oh, no.
Located.
There's nothing tentative about it. I am most definitely going to be in the Augusta Ballroom at the Westin. We have rooms A through C and F through H.
This week.
Have two different halves of the ballroom. Which will be right downstairs from the Peachtree Ballroom, which is where we're doing the Heroes and Villains Ball and the 8-Bit Bash.
All right.
Because I'm special.
How are you liking the Westin?
So far, so good. Love it. They've been great to us. We had a little problem with the air conditioning going out last year, but that might have been 450 people crammed into a room meant for 300 at 2 o'clock in the morning on Sunday night. So
that could probably have something to do with it.
That could happen.
And Phil, of course, you're in America's Mart.
America.
What floor is that on?
God, I guess it's we're on the second floor. That's the main game room. That's where registration, card games, miniatures, board games, and the Tokyo Pop arcade are. On the first floor of America's Mart is where the campaign and non-campaign role-playing events are taking place.
All right. Sweet. All right, so as is tradition with these podcasts, yes, Lee, we are going to play a game. Lee's played this game actually before on a different
podcast.
I'm crying.
So we're going to go from what I'm going to do is we're going to get a topic, and your goal is base. It's really simple. Just name something from that topic. For example, if I was to say Batman villains, and I called Phil, Phil would say
Killer Croc,
and then I'd say Kevin
Scarecrow,
and then I'd say Lee
Joker.
See, and it's as simple as that. But you got to go as fast as you can. If you hesitate, you're out. We're going to go three rounds. If at any point we get someone gets to 10 points in the round, then we stop there. Well, we'll let whoever's left finish. But if you pause, if you say something that's incorrect. By the way, I don't know what all the answers are, so we're self-judging here. And
don't we always?
You're out for that round. You're out for that round, and we'll just keep going with
and
the
welcome
remainder,
to Dragon.
Remaining people.
Oh yeah.
If you happen to be the only one remaining, you get two bonus points. So, all right. So, Phil, since I said your name first, and that's what I wrote down here, I've got one of three topics that you can choose from. So, it can be cooperative tabletop games.
Oh, God.
Gotham City or Dr. Seuss?
I'm going to go with Gotham City.
All right, so name people who live in Gotham City. Phil, starting with you.
Barbara Gordon.
Kevin.
Bruce Wayne.
Lee.
Commissioner Gordon.
Phil.
Harvey Dent.
Kevin.
Dick Grayson.
Lee.
Alfred.
Phil.
Tim Drake.
Kevin.
Jason Todd.
Lee.
Cassie.
Wait, who?
It's Cassie. She was one of the...
Oh, I thought you said Kathy, as in, oh, it's Monday.
No, Cassie.
Okay, Phil.
Hello?
Phil.
That counts as hesitation.
Hello?
Phil?
We can hear you. Can you not hear us?
Phil. Phil. All right. Technical difficulty got him. Kevin.
Oswald Cobblepot.
Lee.
Shit. Joker.
That's it. You're out. Phil, just in case he's back. All right. Kevin, you win that round, so you get two bonus points. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 points for Kevin.
Damn it.
And
there's
Phil. 1, 2.
There's
Phil. There he is.
There's
Phil. Your hacking skills.
Three. And Lee got three as well.
Three.
All right, Kevin, you get to choose this round. Then we'll go to Lee and then Phil. Phil, you are back, right?
Yeah, it was my microphone. It was halfway out of the socket.
Okay, so Kevin.
All right. What are my choices again?
Your choice. Well, you get different choices now.
Thank you.
A collectible miniature games. Let's see. Versions of Monopoly. Or... comic book characters, and there's a specific
comic book characters.
You're gonna go with comic book characters? Okay.
Oh yeah.
Comic book characters with stars on their costumes. Kevin, you start.
Wonder Woman.
Lee.
Captain America.
Phil.
Troya.
Kevin.
Dazzler.
Lee.
And...
Oh wait, we gotta. Who's buzzing? Yes.
Dazzler does it. Okay. Captain Britain.
Phil. Who's buzzing? Who's buzzing?
Captain Britain has no stars on his costume.
He doesn't?
No.
No.
Oops.
Winter Soldier.
Where did we come down on Dazzler? Was that correct or incorrect?
I believe it's incorrect. I don't see any stars on her costume.
All right, then Phil, you win that round. It's 4 points for Phil. Unless anybody wants Kevin gets one and Lee gets one. All right. Last round. Lee, we'll start with you, and then we're reversing the order this time. It's going to go Lee, Kevin, Phil.
Uh-huh.
All right. So, let's see. Franchises where wormholes appeared. Let's see. Tabletop games that require you to draw pictures. Or actors who have played Batman. or voiced Batman.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. That's tough. Let's do the Batman.
All right. Actors who have played Batman, starting with Lee, going to Kevin, then Phil. Okay, Lee, go.
Kevin Conroy.
Kevin.
Adam West.
Oh, too soon. Phil.
Michael Keaton.
Lee.
Val Kilmer.
Kevin.
George Clooney.
Phil.
Christian Bale.
Lee.
Ben Affleck.
Oh, Kevin.
Michael Keaton.
Did we already say Michael Keaton? You get another chance. Michael Keaton's already been said.
No, he hasn't.
Yeah, he has.
Who said him?
Lee.
I did.
Someone did.
Phil did.
I demand a replay.
Kevin. Here, give me another one.
Dino Andrade in the video game.
All right, there you go. Phil.
That would be Kevin Michael Hall.
I'll take it.
Uh-huh.
Lee, unless someone has says different. Lee?
Mark Harmon. He played some voice in one of the Justice Leagues, but I can't remember which one.
Joker here!
What?
Kevin.
No. I called BS on that one.
All right.
He did. He played a voice on one of the Justice League cartoons, but I can't remember if it was Superman or Batman.
I think you're thinking of the guy from Wings, but...
No, I'm not. It was Mark Harmon. I'm going to look it up.
Batman. Okay. I'm looking it up right now. Mark. Oh, it's actually...
Yes?
Hold on. Cast is... He played Superman.
Damn it!
Okay. With that respite, Kevin.
Oh, goodness. Let's go with Paul Kharoof.
I'll assume it's correct. Phil.
No.
It's not. Reno Romano.
Is that correct?
Batman versus Dracula.
Hell yeah.
All right.
Go with that one. I'm not arguing.
With that, that's the end of the round. Let's see. Phil gets 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 points. Kevin gets 3, and Lee gets 3. And let's see, Lee comes in last with 7 points.
Of course.
Kevin's in second with 10, Phil wins with 13.
Woo-hoo!
With technical difficulties and all.
We missed an easy one, guys.
Which one?
Will Arnett, the Lego Batman movie.
Oh man.
Oh yeah.
We did totally miss him, didn't we? Oh man.
Oh. I'm embarrassed. I feel shame.
I feel a little shamed on that, too. Oops.
I had a couple more in my pocket. I had William Baldwin.
Oh, really?
And Jeremy Sisto.
That's right. Yeah, they played it in the animated ones. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Not Superman, though.
I forgot that. Sorry. I couldn't remember.
It was on Crisis on Two Earths.
Yep.
Here's one for you, Phil. This will win you some bets. He was the voice of Batman in the Victoria's Secret of Nim skit on Robot Chicken, Seth Green.
Ah.
Wow.
That counts.
And we will all now remember that. Seth Green. Voice of Batman, Seth Green. Look it up. We will win many a bet.
Well, gentlemen, it has been a pleasure. Again, thank you for joining us. I appreciate you taking the time out of what is inevitably a busy part of your year. I don't know what to say. Lee, what do you got to say?
Well, they didn't harass me too much, so I love you both. Mwah, mwah.
Aww.
You just couldn't hear us.
We'll keep it short and our goodbye is short and sweet.
That's good.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Kevin and Phil, until next time, this is John for Lee saying peace.
Hi.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @ TheUniqueGeek. visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.